for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday evening, March the 24th, 2005. First service of the Passover weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dale Copeland of Worcester, Oklahoma, is the minister.
Dale Copeland is and his sweet wife, Junie, have been ministering here and we've known him for a long time. And he's a teacher and minister of the kingdom. And you're going to have to stay sharp because he's a wonderful, wonderful teacher, but you got to hurry up and keep up with him because he has a lot that he says, and you're going to have to get a tape or a CD to re-listen to it more than once when he ministers. I appreciate the ministry and the teaching of Brother Dale.
Praise the Lord. Brother Doc said he was an intercessor, and once in a while the Lord lets him teach. God has called me to be a teacher, and once in a while he lets me preach. and I enjoy it when I get to preach, but usually I teach. I've pastored a church for almost 20 years, but I'm grateful to be here. I do have some things that I want to share with the body of Christ. I will title this just Spirit, because there's more than one kind of Spirit, and yet God is Spirit. But certain spirits are made to occupy certain realms and certain regions and certain vessels. It takes the light of God or an understanding of God to understand what God is speaking about in the Scriptures, and if we're not careful, when we approach the Scriptures about Spirit, we approach the Scriptures from an Old Testament view. Now, you have to understand, and it'll be made more clear as I share with you some tonight. We still have the problem of thinking of ourselves, of our body, as who we are, and that's erroneous. So we're going to have different eyes to see. And it's kind of like this. We're going to have to... The reason the church... See, I expect the world to have problems, but the church ought not have the problems it's got. Now, it's true the church has the problems, but Peter said 2,000 years ago, this ought not be. Didn't he? There's bitter and sweet water coming out of the same well, and he said, this ought not be. It was, but it ought not be. It ought not be that the church be having the problems that they're having, or have the vision or the lack of vision that it has, but it is. But if we're not careful, because it is, people get to thinking that's the norm. And it's not the norm. It's a malfunction. There's a problem that ought not be. And so we need different eyes to see into some things. I'm reminded of what the Scripture said about the city in the book of Revelation, chapter 21. It says, and there was no need for the sun or the moon, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. So it tells me that the Lamb is the glory of God, because the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light. So having said that, I used to have a lot of problems with what in the world... I didn't see like a lot of people in the church world has saw, and I thank God for that, because let me tell you something. As a whole, the religious system of today called Christianity is a dismal failure as far as manifesting the life of Jesus. So I don't want to see things like they see it, because it hasn't worked for them. You see? And you're going to produce and manifest what you understand and what you see. So I thank God for seeing some things different. And, you know, it's kind of like anything else. You go out there and, and you work and you turn the key on your car and you turn the key on your car, pretty soon you're going to run your battery down, or if you're smart, you're going to stop before you do and say, something's wrong, let's fix it. But the church world just keeps doing the same old thing. Well, hello. You know, from the cradle to the tomb. And never understanding what they missed in this covenant of life. And they struggle with death the whole time while they are seated with Him in heavenly places. So, something this ought not be, you see. See, the church world taught me, when I was growing up, I was taught that there was not going to be a sun or moon in that city. One day, after having read the thing hundreds of times, I read it again and I thought, my God, it didn't say there wasn't a sun or moon. It said there was no need. And if you got to understand the sun and moon, you got to go back to Genesis, see? The book of Genesis, God said, let there be light. Well, that light was a total different light than on the fourth day, in verse, I think, like 14 maybe, the Scripture says that He made lights to rule by night and by day. But when He said, let there be light, in verse 3, is a totally different kind of light. Literally, He's saying, let there be some understanding, let there be some enlightenment, and then we have the garden in Genesis, we got the city in Revelation, and they both, listen, a garden means that which is fenced in. And we got a city that has walls, you see. But now, God said, let there be light in Genesis, and then He said, the Lamb is the light. Actually, in John, in the book of John, He said, light, this is the condemnation that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. I've told our church many a times, I said, it's a tragedy. It's a shame when little children are afraid of the dark. Because the reason they're afraid of the dark is because somebody has told them things, or they've jumped out and scared them and things. It's not normal for a child to be afraid of the dark. They have to have been taught fear of the dark. Now, it's a tragedy when little children are afraid of the dark. It's bad. But I tell you, it's a real tragedy when grown men and women are afraid of the light. And that's what we face so often in the body of Christ, with light is understanding. And every time I get new understanding, I got to let something go. And it ain't very comfortable to change. And I'm in the process of change right now in some things. And, you know, I tell my wife, I don't like what I'm seeing, because I know it's going to move some thing, other things that I really like. You know, that I thought I had it together on. But thank God that He is changing us, and no man at first likes the new wine. He says the old is better. Even you who think that you're real spiritual and love God with all your heart, you think the old is better too at first. You see, so, like I say, it didn't say there wasn't a sun and a moon. It said there was no need because the Lamb did lighten it. Well, we know who the city is. The city is the church of God. It's the city of the living God. It's the body of Christ. Matter of fact, the angel of the Lord told John in verse 9 of chapter 21, he said, come here, I want to show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And in verse 10, what did he do? He said, he took me on a high mountain and he showed me the city. Well, you realize that city is the only heaven that most people's got to go to. Hello, there's some change. I give the example, I don't remember where it was. The Lord spoke this to me about understanding, new life. When we first get an understanding of something, when God shines on our life, the mind of our understanding, a lot of times we do this. You know, have you ever been laying in bed or somebody shine a bright light on you? I've got a lamp on our bed, and my wife, once in a while, the lamp will swing over so she can read, or it'll swing over here so I can read. And sometimes I'll be laying there in the dark, and I'll say, honey, turn the light on, because I think it's on her side. Well, she reaches over, and I'm looking straight up into the light, and I, turn it off! Turn it off! You know, I can't see. That's how the light of God does, or the understanding of God. When we get some new things sometimes, we first thing we do is, God, turn it off! It's not comfortable, but you know what? If you're a lover of the truth, if you really want to know the truth, what we'll do is we'll kind of get our eyes used to it. Because pretty soon we can see. But if you don't love the truth, if you love darkness, you'll keep your hand over your eyes. Now, I just give you some light. That city in the book, 21st chapter of Revelation, it's the one that's got walls of jasper, 12 foundations, the street of gold, not streets. Hello. Gate of pearl, It's the only place that I've ever heard preached about heaven. And the Bible said it's the Lamb's wife. Well. Turn it off, you know. I've heard all along, you know. Well, you just next year or next month, next week, you just keep doing this. Just keep opening up your hand and let a little bit of light shine through, and pretty soon you begin to understand something that Jesus spoke in through Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 5, and when he got done, he said, I speak a mystery, but I'm speaking concerning Christ and the church, and he was talking about husband and wife. Romans chapter 7 says, we have a right to be married to another, right? And he showed him the bride, the Lamb's wife, and it was that city. Praise the Lord. Well, we have to understand that God, it takes spiritual minds to understand what God is speaking, because God does not just lay out for every natural-minded person what He intends to say. It takes the Spirit of God to discern it, and if you think that a Spirit God is going to talk natural things to you, you're mistaken. God, a Spirit God, is going to speak spiritual things, that it said the natural man understandeth not the things of God, but it's discerned, or it's spiritually discerned. And when God is talking about His home, His house, His dwelling place, when He's talking about His family, He's talking spiritual things. Now, I said all that to say this. It takes the Spirit of God to understand that there's no need of the sun or moon. Here's why there's no need of the sun or moon. It's simply the sun and moon is the natural things that God has for light. Now, it's not that we don't use the sun or moon, but I'm telling you something. There's a greater vision than what the sun or moon will show you. And if you only walk by the limitation of the sun or the moon, you're going to walk in darkness. While you're walking by natural light, you're going to be in spiritual darkness. I'll give you an example. Natural light revealed and showed when Lazarus died, and showed he hadn't come out of the tomb yet, and showed the stone was still in front of the tomb, but spiritual light said he's sleeping. Natural light said he's been dead 4 days. Spiritual light said he sleeps and woke him up. Natural light sees a little boy with 5 fishes and loaves, and spiritual light sees enough to feed a multitude. You know what? The church has lived too long by the light of the sun and the moon. Now, having said that, you can't live any other way unless you recognize the Spirit. Oh, praise God. For too long we have not understood. We have had the wrong concept of who we are. We relate to who we are through our body instead of through our spirit. And if that don't change, we'll stay in darkness. Continually. We'll continue to stay in darkness. This body that you see up here, it's not who I am. You see, it is not who I am. And this body is just the house that I live in. It's the temple that I live in. You see? It's kind of like we are the temple of God, but we ain't God. But we are His temple. This body is my temple. It's where I live. But, you know, we who are Christians, we need to adjust our thinking concerning our bodies. I'm going to talk about spirit. See? Now, people who are not of the new creation might think that, you know, when a Christian lays their body down, then they're dead. So-and-so died last week. That shows we're still walking by the light of the sun and the moon. Because, like I say, people who are not of the new creation, might think when a Christian lays their body down that they're dead, but we who have been born from above know that that's not the way it is, don't we? We know that they live. See? You see, their body was the house that they lived in. It's the house that they expressed themselves through. Hey? It was also the house that God expressed Himself through in the natural realm. That's what our body is. It is a place where God and the Christian or the new creation expresses themselves through. That's what the body's for. And to start with, the Scripture state in John chapter 3, verse 6, it says, that which is born of spirit is spirit. That which is born of God is spirit. Now, the scripture says, now we are the sons of God. And it said, you must be born again. So if you got born of the spirit, that which is born of spirit is spirit. Okay? Now, we are a spirit. We've always been a spirit ever since we was born from above. We live in this body, but this body's not who we are. It just gives expression of who we are. It's the expression in the natural realm. It's the expression in a natural realm of, it's supposed to be the expression in the natural realm of the will of God in the spirit realm. You see, this body was not made, let me just say it this way, the spirit is not here for the natural agenda. The natural is here for the spirit agenda. See, God made us for His pleasure, not vice versa. People's using God for their pleasure. As long as we look at it this way, we're going to be in darkness. Because what we do is we get our plans and our ideas and our hopes and our dreams in the natural, and we get our problems in the natural. And the reason we get our problems in the natural is because that's where we set our affections. Oh my, this ought not be, but it has been. And it is, to an extent. But thanks be to God, it's not the norm. There is a sound going forth that is not the norm, and you don't have to stay there. You can get delivered and stay free. You can come out of darkness into light. And in God, there is no darkness. He is light. You see, you can get in Christ and Christ in you, and if there's any gray area added, you've added darkness. Oh, my. It's true that a Christian has not died in 2,000 years. Their bodies may have died, but they live on. They live on. I heard an expression like this one time. It went like this. It said, love me and love my body, but don't love me for my body. Love me and love my body, but don't love me for my body. A lot of people, their love only goes as far as the physical. You know, when the Lord began to speak to me about this, I began to, my wife and I, we've been married 31 years, and I want to know who she is. Not just recognize her by her body. I want to get more spiritual than that, because she's born of the Spirit. I'm born of the Spirit. She's my wife in the flesh, but she's my sister in the Spirit. Well, much as we might like it, and that's something that I don't like. You know, I love my wife so much, I wish we was married in the Spirit. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's hard to think that we are not married in the Spirit. It says they two should be one flesh. It didn't say they two would be one Spirit. Right? They two will be one flesh. Well, you see, you couldn't do that in the Spirit, because in the Spirit realm, it enlarges and we are all, we being many are one body, but we are the body of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. So, see, we have a right to be married unto another, even unto Christ. Ain't that what the Scripture said? So in the spirit realm, it wouldn't quite work for me to be married to her. Well, alright. Just hang on with me. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, and I'm not going to turn there, but I can quote it to you right quick. I said I could. My mind just went blank on it. Alright. If our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. All right? Now, like I say, according to this scripture here, a Christian is a spirit that lives in a body. And if our earthly or natural house is dissolved, then we change locations or dimensions. It's better to say dimensions. Because I don't believe for a minute that we go through the sky and through the, you know, past the other side of Mars somewhere and end up in heaven. I've done told you where the city is. Let me tell you something. The city of God, the street of gold. Now, am I getting in trouble? The street of gold, everything that the church world has called heaven never was heaven. Because the Bible said it come down from God out of heaven. Okay? You know, You can do with it what I tell people. I say, look, it's your problem too. It's in your Bible just like mine. So you got to deal with it too. You know, don't get mad at me. I'm a messenger. But I'm just pointing out some things that the Word says, and it doesn't say a lot of times what we've been told it says. You see, we've been told a lot of things that it said that it doesn't say. And any time you talk about coming down from God out of heaven, you cannot talk physical direction. Anytime you talk about down, you do not talk physical direction when you talk in of down or up in the Bible. When you talk about came down from God out of heaven, it didn't come out of the sky. It come from a higher realm. The same way it says, seek those things which are above where Christ sitteth. Above what? A lower realm or the natural realm. The natural dimension. Seek the spiritual things is what he was saying. Matter of fact, he said it like this. Seek you first the realm of the Spirit. King James says, the kingdom of God. Seek you first the realm of the Spirit, and all these natural things will just get added. You realize it was no miracle for Jesus to feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of fishes. Loaves and fishes. It was not a miracle. It was a miracle to the fallen realm. It's a miracle to them who it is not natural for them to live and move in the Spirit. To Jesus, it was no different than you or I would feed 5 people and we'd go and open our refrigerator door and take out enough food to feed 5 people. Through the Spirit realm, through the power of the Spirit, through that dimension, it was no miracle for Jesus to take 5 fishes and loaves and multiply them and feed 5,000. It was no miracle for Jesus to raise the dead that had been dead 4 days. It was no greater miracle than for us to just go and wake up somebody that's been asleep. Because it's another realm. It's another dimension. He's operating from another power, you see. Another source. He's not limited to the natural. Matter of fact, the natural come out of the spiritual. See, so therefore, when we begin to look at these things, how many of you can visualize Jesus when He reached over and healed somebody, Him doing a victory dance? Oh, glory! Hallelujah! Thank you, Father! I'm so glad you healed! I don't see Him doing that. Why? Because it was common, it was normal, it was natural. It wasn't no great big thing for Him. He lived by the Spirit. See? He brought His life source from the Spirit realm. He operated from the Spirit. The reason we react this way is because we're not used to seeing it. You know, you sit down and feed me a good, nice, thick, juicy, tender steak, and I'll ooh and aah over it. But if you feed me that 30 days in a row, and I'm going to quit ooh and aahing over it. But it's just going to become daily fare. Right? Oh, my. If we die, if we lay our body down, if our body dies, it does not mean that we cease to exist. We are not in the past. Hello. You're not somebody that lays their body down. A Christian that lays their body down is not in the past. This is important. They're alive and well. See, what's in the casket when you come to a funeral is just the house that person lived in. And that's all. Now, let's turn to John chapter 4. I've got a long ways to go and a short time to get there, and my wife said, be kind. Brother Bill Smith said, I preach the everlasting gospel. And he ain't complimenting me when he says it either. John chapter 4, verse 23. I want you to see some things that happen in the Spirit to us. The things that we are to be. The hour cometh now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit. Turn to Romans chapter 2, verse 29. We'll find out that our circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit. In Romans chapter 8, verse 9, it says, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be. You see, I've gone to meetings before and conventions and sat and listened to whole meetings where the whole thing was battling the old flesh. I tell you, our old carnal man's our problem. Boy, we got to kill Adam. We got to do this. We got to kill the old man. And you know, I was at a meeting where I listened to probably 3 or 4 of the ministers minister like this, and the host pastor said, I want you to preach. And I said, please don't have me preach. And he said, why not? And I said, because what I've got to say is going to contradict everything's been said, and I don't want to speak. Oh, brother, we just want you to obey the Lord. I said, I will if I get up there, but I'm telling you, don't let me up there. You know, don't let me speak. He said, you just obey the Lord. I said, well, brother, if I speak, I'm going to obey God. First thing I done was I said, how many of you has the Spirit of God in you? Almost everybody raised their hand. And I said, you can't have it both ways. You're not in the flesh. If so be, the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, you can't say, oh, it's my old flesh that's doing this. It's my... Yes, you can't have it both ways. The Scripture don't leave room for two paths. After it's all over, just about everybody in the building was upset with me. And remember what I said about this? They slapped their hand over their eye because of the light. One brother, we went down to the fellowship hall, and the brother told me it was real quiet when I walked in, and a brother from Amarillo, Texas, turned around and said, Brother Dale, I would have amen, but you had my throat cut and I was choking on my own blood. And everybody laughed, and it relieved the tension and everything of this nature. I'm telling you something. You know, there's people that's going around saying, oh, like this, you know, oh, I'm just trying to find myself. Well, if you do, kill him. When you find him, kill him. He ain't worth having. He ain't worth finding. Your only life that's worth having is in Christ. But I want to tell you something. Let's just be honest with one another. You can't kill the old man, nor can you bring under control the carnal mind. You, the only way that the old man will ever die is for you to identify with Christ's death and for you to be dead with Christ. You never was designed. God don't want you trying to kill your own old man. He wants you to identify with the sacrifice that was dead and made dead, and you be dead with Him. You be crucified with Christ. If you killed your old man, God wouldn't accept that sacrifice. The only one He'll accept is Jesus. You ain't going to do you no good. Here's the thing. You got to be dead with Him, and you got to raise with Him. What are you going to do if you end up after years of struggle? See, I noticed this because I was a young man when I first started getting a hold of the message of life and immortality and the kingdom of God in the earth. I was about 17 years old, and I watched. And I watched these men of God, precious men of God that I loved dearly and that went before me and elders and things, and I listened to their message, and they fought the old man for 30 years and laid their body down and died, and they ain't got an ounce closer to killing him. And I knew they had a wrong message. I knew there was something greater. There's something different there for us to receive. This is freely given to you. You just accept what Jesus done. You be dead with Him. He did it in our stead. You see? And I accept that. My name was on that cross. Listen, He died in your name. He died in my name. You see, He died for me. Right? Your name was on that cross. And so therefore, like I say, you're not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit if the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if we don't settle that, we'll fight it all our life. What it amounts to. And we'll be in a... Listen, it's a struggle that is to be... I'm trying to think of the right word that I want to say here. It's a struggle that's to be well thought of. It's just misguided. In other words, people who are trying and their old man is their problem, listen, let your old man be dead with Christ. Like I say, you can't kill him. I've seen thousands of people try for years and they didn't ever make it. But if they ever learn to identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, they come forth, the old man died and the new man is risen. And you know what? What happens is, here's the way I was taught for years. You know, once we get this old man, my goodness, we're going to come into the kingdom. They got the cart before the horse. And let me just say it like this. When the Lord gave me this revelation about this, I was amazed. I told my wife, I said, my God, they're racing to a false finish. It ain't there. They're running hard as they can run, and there ain't nothing at the end for them in that, because that's the first thing that's got to happen. Not the last thing. That's the very first thing that has to happen. When you start living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, moving in the Spirit, you have to have been, for you to be a new creation and been raised with Christ, something's had to die. Oh my. All right, let's go on here. What happens to people? We're talking about Spirit. Know you not, 1 Corinthians 3:16, that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. I said last time I was here, a few months ago, I made a statement. There is no holier place that God Almighty in anywhere that He can dwell than in your body, because you are His most holy temple. Boy, now that just really makes this bigger than our minds can take hold of. There's a whole lot of things here that our minds, just on the surface, we are so religiously trained to think certain ways that we miss the impact and the power of the Spirit. Listen, the power of the Spirit and the impact of the Spirit is not always on the outside or even in words of great wisdom or great ooh and ahs. It's sometimes the little hidden things of the Spirit. It's almost like the nuclear bomb or the atom. The concept of the atom and the laws of physics and everything about the atom, it's always been there. Man could have had a bomb 5,000 years ago, 6,000 years ago, because the principles of the atom was there, but they just didn't know the laws. They didn't know the laws that governed it. And see, we've got to learn the laws that govern the Spirit. That's why we have to seek first the realm of the Spirit. And if we don't learn the laws that govern the Spirit, we're going to struggle all our life with the other side. We're just going to struggle. We're going to be in a tussle. And sometimes I've lived a life for a few years there. I lived a life where at times I didn't know if I was on top or Satan was on top. Oh, I know by the Word of God, we win. But that is not what Jesus manifested and showed to us as a pattern. And it's not for us to live. It may be where we are, but it's not where we're to be, and it's not where we ought to be. We don't have to stay there. So He said, know you not, you're the temple of God, the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Then it says in 12 and 7, it says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. So here we worship in the Spirit, circumcision in the Spirit. We're not in the flesh, but we're in the Spirit. We're the temple of Spirit. We have a manifestation of the Spirit. We speak in the Spirit. Galatians 3 and 3 said we began in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16 says, walk in the Spirit. I'm coming to something. You don't know what I'm coming to yet, but I'll get there. I'll get there in a minute. I want to show you some different things that we do in the Spirit. We're builded together through the Spirit. We're renewed in the spirit of our mind. Ephesians 6 and 17, 18, we have the sword of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2, 14 says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him. Neither can he know them. He don't just not receive them, he can't know them. Because they are spiritually discerned. Then verse 7 says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom. And in verse 9 it says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. How many of you have heard preachers preach that and say, oh, heaven's going to be wonderful. It ain't even entered into your mind the things that God hath prepared. They forgot to read the next verse. Now remember, it says the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. Now let me read verse 9 and 10. It says it's written. It was written. It was written to who? It wasn't written to us. It was written to the house of Israel under the old covenant. I have not seen, ear have not heard, neither hath it entered in the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. Verse 10 says, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. Why would we quote scriptures out of context and make beautiful stories about it and just always hold God? You know, it's like holding a carrot out in front of people. It'll be better tomorrow. It'll be better over yonder. How much better can it get than God coming and taking up His abode in you? I've said a lot of times, people shout and holler and have a good time about thinking about going to heaven, but they ain't even excited about Jesus in them. Isn't that a shame how unspiritual we really are so often? How we have been misdirected and detoured from the power of the Spirit. See, Christ is in us. We're His house. He's at home. He ain't waiting to come and take up His abode. He's took up His abode. A lot of people think that I made this statement. Maybe here I've made it a lot of times when the Lord spoke to me. He said, listen, my body, my temple, you are not a condo on the beach that I come to occasionally. You're my house. You're not my vacation home. You're my dwelling place. And all that God does, see, it's too wonderful for me to be able to even understand with a natural mind. And I tell you what, I'm running hard in the spirit realm to be able to grasp it there. That all that God does, hey, listen, your place of abode, your everything that you do, listen, when we left to come here, we left from home. The body of Christ is the outworking of God now. We're the temple of the living God. Oh my goodness. And you know what? A lot of people don't even know His home. They don't ever talk to Him unless they have a need, unless they have a trouble. And that's why they have a need and that's why they have a trouble, is because they don't talk to Him. See, a lot of times, I'm telling you something, I asked the Lord one time, I said, Lord, what would You do in this circumstance? And the Lord spoke right back and said, I wouldn't have got in that circumstance. I would have listened to the Father. You know? And the reason we don't, the reason we do get into trouble is because we are not talking to the Father like we should. We're not listening to the Spirit as we should. And yet we are living, we are Spirit, and we walk and move and live by the Spirit. Now, it's the natural man don't receive the things of God, and he can't understand them, but in verse 10 it says, God revealed them unto us, then apparently we're not the natural man. Right? God's not revealing, the natural man can't understand them, and he can't receive them, but God revealed them unto us by His Spirit. Oh my. Romans chapter 8, verse 16 says, the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. Then it says, if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you'll live. For as many as are led. All right, I'm showing you everything that we're supposed to be doing by the Spirit. That's what I'm trying to show us. This is our heritage. I'm telling you, to live in the Spirit is our heritage. As the church world has told us about, you know, dying and going to heaven, that's not what the Bible teaches is our heritage. The Bible teaches us living in the Spirit is our heritage. Jesus lived in the Spirit realm while He walked in the flesh. Matter of fact, He lived in heaven. The Bible said it like this. Jesus said, no man hath ascended up to heaven except the Son of Man that descended down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. He's standing right there and told them He's in heaven. Heaven ain't that far away, folks. Jesus said it. I guess He knowed. You know, that might disagree with our doctrine, but I guess Jesus probably knows. I figure He knew where He was at. See, I mean, you know, we turn it off. We don't want to see sometimes because it changes other things. Every truth that I've ever got, it's like dominoes. It changes things that I didn't know it's going to change on around the corner down in life somewhere in my other understandings and things. It changed other things. And you know what? When I accepted it and I said, I know it's true, God, then I had to accept it down here where I didn't want to change. I also had to be... See, I got to be honest. I got to be a man of integrity. I'm not going to wrest the Scriptures and say, well, I'm going to keep it this way because this is how... You know, I don't want to have to deal with this change and God changing me over here. You got to be honest, man. I tell you, this thing's got to go clean through. And here's the thing. Why would we want to keep that which ain't working anyway? Are we so in love with our doctrines and our understanding instead of the life of Jesus Christ? Man, I'll tell you, I'm in love with the life of Jesus Christ. Now, it said in, I think I said Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. It also said we're led by the Spirit of God. Ephesians 1 and 3 said we're blessed with all spiritual blessings. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Ephesians 1:19 it says He has raised us up. What is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ. This power is to us that He wrought in Christ. We ain't got a hold of that one yet. You realize that? People say, oh, well, that's for resurrection morning. You're not understanding the Scriptures if that's what you think. That is not what he's talking about. Listen, this is a working power that's in us. The kingdom of God is in you. Jesus knows where it is, and he said it was in you. A lot of people are waiting on the kingdom, but they don't understand where it's at. They've got a different kingdom than God had in mind. The only way the natural kingdom will ever, any natural kingdom of God will ever be seen is it's got to first be resident in us. And all we can do is manifest what's in us. Now, he said, this power is to usward, according to the working of his mighty power that he wrought in Christ. The same power that he wrought in Christ is to usward. The same power that he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead is to usward. Well, how much are you raised from the dead then? Man, we need to think about some things. We need to think about understanding that's got us in the messes that we're in that we'd have never got in if we had a different understanding. We would never be in most of the struggles we're involved with if we had had the right understanding. Now, it says, and he set him, that's Jesus, at his own right hand. This is great power, not just raising him from the dead, set him at his own right hand. See, we think he took him way off up yonder somewhere and set him down beside him on a natural throne, most people think. They don't understand God as a spirit. He don't need to sit on a natural throne. His kingdom's in you, and if his kingdom's in you, I guarantee you his throne's in you. Because his throne is in his kingdom. This is not a throneless kingdom, and it's not a kingless kingdom. Right? Oh, well, this don't go with what I've been taught and believed all my life. It goes with the Scriptures. It goes with what the Bible says. It goes with what Jesus said. You see? So, now hear what I'm saying here, because he set him at his own right hand in heavenly places or spiritual places. And in chapter 2, verse 6, he said, and God hath raised us up together. That's that same power. It says that is us to usward. Raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. You know where God set you? When did you get raised up? When Jesus did. Hello. That's when you got raised. You know what? They ain't nobody rejoicing over that. People will be rejoicing over a dead body coming out of a grave more than they are. What really counts is the Spirit of God coming into our spirit and us being quickened and made alive by the Spirit of God as God is. You know what? It wouldn't help a physical body to come out of the grave at all if there's not a resurrection by the Spirit of Christ first. We've got the natural as if it's the most important when it's not. The natural was made for the spiritual agenda. And the natural was made to manifest the Spirit's character and domain. It's out from us. God wanted Himself seen in a visible, another dimension, so He made the natural, what we call the natural realm. He made heaven and earth. He made the stars. He made a physical realm because He wanted to see Himself expressed in that realm. Now, having said that, verse 9, it says in chapter 3, He wanted to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ. Here's the purpose, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly or spiritual places, places that we've been set in Him. Remember it says, you're seated with Him. Made us sit together. Together. You raised together and you sit together. And the church world ain't got the raise down yet, much less the set. Now, it'd take another hour or two for us to teach on really what it is to set and the purpose of to set. But I'm going to tell you something. When something's set, it's finished. When you sit down, the work's over. But we act like it ain't over, that we've got to dot some more I's and cross some more T's because He didn't get it all done. This ain't that hard. Our religion's made it hard. It's the traditions of men that spoiled us and plundered us. It's our understanding that kept God at arm's length from us, that we was always waiting for another day. We was always waiting for God to come and do something when we didn't realize He done took up His abode. Won't you hear Him? Won't you listen to His voice? He's moving. The Holy Ghost was given, folks. My goodness. And it says that to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Now, isn't it strange that we began in the Spirit, we're born of the Spirit, We're to walk in the Spirit. We're to manifest the Spirit. We're to move in the Spirit. We're to live in the Spirit. We're to have our being in the Spirit. We're the house of the Spirit. We have the sword of the Spirit. Isn't it strange that with all of these things, we live in the Spirit, and yet we can't see anyone in the Spirit? Boy, that's really got my attention when I started seeing everything we're supposed to be doing in the Spirit, and then I realized we were very spiritually illiterate because we have walked by sight and not by the Spirit. We have been walking by the light of the sun and the moon and not by the Lamb, because the Lamb wouldn't say, "Oh, what am I going to do about this? I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh, Jesus, help me, help me. Father, help me, help me." I can't see Jesus sitting down over here on the road to Jerusalem and saying, "Oh, guys, I just can't go no farther. I tell you what, I'm so worried about what's going to happen when I get there. I heard they was going to kill me. The Lord showed me. My Father showed me I was going to be crucified. And I tell you, and you know, this head cold's just tearing me up. I just can't hardly make it. Y'all going to have to come pray for me." Nah, that's not what... That ain't what Jesus manifested, nor is it what we're supposed to be manifesting. We live in the Spirit. We're seated with Him in spiritual places. We're seated with Him. We're seated with Him. A lot of people waiting for something they done got. We're seated with Him. "Oh, I can't wait till I tell you one of these days I'm going to sit down and have a talk with Jesus." Don't lie to me. You won't talk with Him 5 minutes right now. And besides that, there's about 3 or 4 million or billion other people ahead of you. Won't do the same thing. And you know what? If Jesus walked in here naturally right now, I promise you, everybody would quit being led by the Spirit and they'd start going by sight, by the flesh again. Nobody would pray tomorrow morning. Wouldn't need to. You stop and think about it a little bit. Jesus come to reacquaint us with the invisible God. You realize that? He come, the house of Israel, they rejected the invisible God. They wanted a God or a king, a leader, that they could see like other nations. People are not happy with Christ in them. That ain't good enough. Well, we've been sold a bill of goods, folks. We better hear. We need to hear something. We've been sold a bill of goods when Christ in us is not more powerful enough, and we got to have some other kind of demonstration than Christ in you. I say we need to connect with the one that's in us first and then find out if that ain't enough. Oh, my. The church world's always told us it was witchcraft if you talk to anybody that laid their body down, that they died. If you talk to the dead, that's witchcraft. But I want to tell you this. They have not understood that the body was not the person. Now hear me. I agree. Before everybody starts slamming their, doors, I agree. It's wrong to talk to the dead. But a Christian that's laid their body down is not dead. We are so far beneath our realm and the life that the cross made available for us. Boy, what a beautiful trick the enemy has pulled on God's people that they've not been able to live in the Spirit. We just kind of reach inside and grab a thing every once in a while. Now just hear me. It's not wrong to talk to the living. Now, if you say, "Oh, He's instigating going around talking to people that's dead," you still ain't got what I said. Because the truth is, you believe that person, that body is that person. I'm talking about Christians. I ain't talking about people that didn't know the Lord. If you can sit with Him in heavenly places, if the kingdom of God is in you, where do you think they're at? Oh, you get it. You get it. Just do like this every once in a while. Just think about it. You know, you got to ask these questions. That's what I began to do, Brother Glenn. I wanted to know some things. I said, "God, why in the world? I'm seated with You in heavenly places. I'm to live in the Spirit, move in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, talk in the Spirit. And we can't see nothing in the Spirit. We got to have a vision. I'm going to show you something. I'm going to show you how we've been robbed here in just a little bit. We need the eyes of our understanding open so we can see and talk to people, those who are sitting where we're sitting. Isn't it terrible to sit beside somebody and can't see them? Can't talk to them? I know this sounds strange, but just hang on a minute. I'll tie it up here in a minute with Scripture. I know we've got a lot of growing to do. I'm not, my goal is to not talk to dead people. Because I know that's where people's stuck right now in their mind. But you ain't heard what I said, and you'll have to listen to this tape again. And you'll find out I think it's sin to talk to dead people. I think it's witchcraft. Shoot, how they don't know nothing, do they? People try. Right, but what I'm saying is what they think that I'm talking, what people think that I'm talking about, I'm not talking about. I'm talking about there is a living economy called the kingdom of God that's more than the natural side. And the only side we know about or have ever experienced as a whole is the natural side. And the reason is because of a lack of understanding that in Christ, you know what the Ephesians 1 says, He hath made both one, all things in heaven, the spirit realm, and in earth, the natural realm, He made them both one in Christ. Do you realize that in Christ, you ought to be able to walk in both dimensions? All right. Most people can't even talk to Jesus except through their religious understanding or ideas. Not the only way they can even do that. But you know, He's raised us up and made us sit with Him in the heavenlies while we're still living in natural bodies. Look, the book of Ephesians chapter 1 says that He's gathering together, I just quoted it to you, in one, everything in Christ, both of which in heaven and that which is on the earth, even in Him. And what does the Bible say? Of God are you in Christ. And He's made the spiritual and the natural one in Him. And you're in Christ. If this, you know, I understand this sounds strange to people's ears. And I'm not trying to... Listen, I promise you, I beg you, don't believe anything that you hear preached from the pulpit. Go home and study it out. Search and see. Be honorable. Take the Scriptures and look it up. Find out. But, you know, don't take the Scriptures and say, well, I'm going to disprove that. I'll tell you what, I'm going to... And if you do that, you won't ever come to the truth. You see, here's how I approach things. I don't care what the truth is. I just want it. I don't care what it moves in my life. I just want the truth. I'm not in love with my doctrine. I'm not in love with my understanding. I'm in love with Jesus. See, I'm in love with Jesus. And my understanding has changed drastically since I started serving the Lord, and I'm sure almost all of us have. And guess what? We'll probably change some more. We'll probably do some more changing. But now, aren't you ready to have your eyes open to the spiritual realm instead of just being limited to the natural realm? I got a good friend that's already laid his body down. He's a mighty man of God, prophet of God, an apostle of the Lord. And he was in a football field, a stadium, and he was walking along praying. And a brother who had died had laid his body down. See, I still got the old terminology too. Had laid his body down years before. Come walking up to him. They embraced. He hugged him and said, well, my God. You know, and they talked. And he said, brother, why don't you appear more often? And he said, oh, brother, you don't understand. It's not me that's appeared in the natural realm. You've walked into the spirit realm. He's just been praying. And it's all made one in Christ. Spiritual or natural. Listen, we're only limited. Listen, man is only separated from God because of the fall. Because of sin. And we are, spirit is strange to us. Isn't that something? Here we are born of it. And it's so strange to us. Because we still live our life as if our body is who we are. Even, let me give, here's, and I'm going to close here in just a little while. You notice I didn't say in 5 minutes. But in here just a little bit. Even the prophet's servant in the old covenant, that had no glory in comparison with the glory of, that's the covenant that we are of and are a part of. Even the prophet's servant in the old covenant was able to have his eyes open to the spirit realm. I'll read it to you. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15. When the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots, and his servant said unto him, alas, my master, How shall we do, or what shall we do? And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see. See what? What was there? But it was in a different dimension. It was there. My God, if we saw a little bit, we'd write a book, get on 5 talk shows, and, you know, we'd think we did something. That's how far the church is from where our heritage is. Now listen, he said, And the Lord opened his eye, or the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. He said, there's more. Don't worry about it. There's more of us than there is of them. I suspect Elijah was probably looking at them all the time because he wanted his servant's eyes open. Now, I'm talking about a man of God who was seeing into a different dimension in an old covenant. Huh? Instead of just seeing the enemy that was surrounding him, all of a sudden, he saw into the spirit realm and he saw the host of the armies of the Lord surrounding the enemy that was surrounding them. Huh? If this was to be done without being born of the Spirit in the old covenant, surely we who've been born of the Spirit have a right to expect more in the new covenant that is far, far better. But we have lived so far beneath, we thought a crumb was a loaf. I'm telling you, the people of God are shouting happy over crumbs. It's the truth. And they seldom get a crumb. When God wants us to sit at the table as children of God, we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Listen, you own the field, you own the bakery, you own the grind meal, and we rejoice over a crumb. Lord, even the dogs. You know what? God's people can relate to that, but they can't hardly relate to sitting at the table. Isn't that sad? I tell you, I've spent many, many hours weeping and crying in sorrow because the body of Christ has been so far down that we have a mindset, a poverty-stricken mindset, spiritually speaking. And we think we're supposed to be that way. I used to say it's POW mindset. Prisoners of war. We're just all just waiting until our great hero comes and sets us free. But you know what? He's already broke the chains. He's already broke the chains. He's already set the captives free. And you know what? How did we get from there to here? Don't it make you... Listen, it grieves my spirit. I weep and cry. Listen, I repent for the body of Christ. I repent for our nation. And I repent for the ministry that's led us astray, not necessarily intentionally, but they were led astray. And it started 2,000 years ago. Apostle Paul said, after I leave, grievous wolves going to come in amongst you, and they ain't going to spare the flock. They're going to spoil the flock. What they was going to do was take away the power of God from God's people and make them poverty-stricken and make them think if they could get a whiff of bread once in a while, it was worth something to rejoice over. When Jesus is our bread. Now, like I say, we that are in the new covenant surely have a right to expect more than what a servant of a prophet in an old covenant could see. Now, Jesus said in Luke chapter 7, verse 28, among those that was born of women, there was not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. There wasn't a greater one. But he that's least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. Listen, John the Baptist was greater than Elijah and greater than Elijah's servant. And the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than both of them. Greater than all of them. And here we have eyes to see and we see not. You know what? An eye does you no good. Light does no good if you have not an eye. And it does you no good if your eye has been impaired. And our eyes have been impaired. Oh. Do you see what's available for us? John the Baptist was a greater prophet than Elisha, according to Jesus. And Elisha had no trouble seeing into the spirit realm. And John the Baptist was a greater prophet than him. And the least in the kingdom is greater than him. What have we been doing? Boy, we need to get our eyes and we need to get our head lifted up. Lift up your head, O ye gates. You everlasting doors, let the King of Glory come in. That's what we need. We need some spiritual, as Paul said, the eyes of our understanding enlightened, that we might know some things. If Elijah had no trouble seeing into the spirit realm, what do you think God's made available for His sons? That just makes sense. If I'm seated with Him in heavenly places and ain't never saw nothing in heavenly places, something's wrong. Somebody's blinded me. Somebody's spoiled me. Somebody's plundered some things from me. And it's usually our understanding of these things, so therefore we don't know how to interact with what God has made available to us. See, it don't make no difference. No matter what God has given you, if you don't know how to use it, you don't know how to operate according to the principles or the spiritual laws of the kingdom of God. Listen, all the natural laws, when God made it, when God made the earth and the natural, He put all the laws in motion. There's laws of physics, like I say, man could have been flying an airplane. The laws has always been there, they just discovered them. You realize there's as many spiritual laws of the kingdom that governs the things of the kingdom as there is in the natural, surely. Hello? Now I know I'm talking some things that, but if we don't know how to use, you know, a little child don't know, they don't know to walk off the side of a building. They don't know how to use the natural law of gravity. They don't, and they have to be taught, stay away from the edge. That'll hurt you. They have to be taught other things. You know, the laws of propulsion and things of this nature, what you can get in your car and you can take off down the road. Them laws, the laws that makes gasoline explode and combustion and all that, it's always been, that's a natural thing. But you know what? Until just a few years ago, 100 years or so, man didn't know about it. But it's always been there. And I'm telling you something, the things of God and the kingdom of God and the realm of the Spirit is absolutely unending. But let's don't blame God and say He ain't provided it for us. Let's get our understanding enlightened, right? I don't know about you, but I tell you, I refuse to quit reaching for more and more of what God's made available for me, both in the natural and in the Spirit. He's made it one in Christ. I know that death is not God's friend. It's His enemy. The Scripture plainly says death is an enemy of God. You know, whether it be natural or spiritual, death is an enemy of God. And when God made man, He made man in His image and in His likeness. And let me just say this right quick, and I'm just going to touch it and run. I don't believe that God is the dust of the earth. Let me go on. God is spirit. When He created man to occupy a natural body, so He made him a body. A fish is natural, it's flesh. But you know what? It can't live where you and I live. It's made to live, it's flesh, but it's made to live in a different realm. Spirits are made to live in certain realms, in certain bodies. An angel is a spirit, but you know what? They're not made to live in the body that we're made to live in. When God made man, He made man after His image and likeness, and He made him to live in a body. It was through man's natural body that the expression of God was to be seen in the natural. And every time a Christian lays their body down, God's robbed of being able to express Himself through that body in this realm. The purpose for the physical realm is to express God in this realm. And every time somebody lays their body down, that's one individual, one vessel that God cannot express Himself through in this realm anymore. And so I know it's the will of God that our bodies live and glorify the owner of the house. See, He owns the house. That's why Jesus raised the dead, healed the sick, you know, the injured, cleansed the leper, all these things. He didn't just preach the message of the kingdom. He showed them the kingdom. That's what it amounted to. He showed them the kingdom. See, you just keep going around the same old loop all the time. I'm telling you something, there's a place to get out of this never-ending circle of trouble and things, and Jesus is the street. If you want to know where the street is, Jesus is the way. Gold always represents pureness. It represents the best. It represents divinity. Jesus is the way, and He's the life. I'm thankful that God will use us where we are, aren't you? I'm glad God will take us where we are. And He will pick us up. He will visit us where we are. and he will help us as much as we'll let him help us. But let me tell you something. Most of the time, it's our understanding that limits his help. And if the eyes of our understanding get enlightened, I'm telling you, you can be set free from demonic powers, and you can grow like nobody thought you could. And you can put your foot on that neck of that thing, and you'll never have to deal with that one again. If he tries to raise up, you just kind of wiggle your foot a little bit. You can bruise ahead. You do not have to live in a hand-to-hand combat. You can sit with Jesus in heavenly places. But like I say, I'm thankful God will take us where we're at. My prayer for each one of us tonight is that we become spiritually minded. To become spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. Don't we need that, brother? Don't we need that? Oh, my God. Life and peace. I don't like to, you know, it's like with my children. You know, I tell our church as a pastor, as a father to people, I say, you know, your children hadn't learned to obey if you got to see to it they do it. When you tell them to do something, you know they've learned to obey when they just go do it, and you can go on you told them and you can go on and do your thing. Because you know they're obedient. You've taught them to obey. But you know what? If you got to say, I'm one, two, listen, they ain't taught to obey. They're made to obey. There's a difference. And there was a time that Satan come to Jesus and he found nothing in him. And that's what being raised with Christ and being crucified with Christ is all about. That we live a new creation life. And if you'll find out that in this city, nothing unclean or anything that can defile, it has to stay outside. You say, well, that's for one of these days. It'll always be for one of these days until we understand the king's in the house. The king's in the kingdom. And we got to see, a lot of people know him as Savior, but very few know him as Lord. Very few. In other words, when he's Lord, you know, when a king gives a decree, well, people just, they jump too. But we all know him as Savior. I thank God for knowing him as Savior. And when I still need a Savior, I call on him as Savior. But you know what? He would rather I have him as Lord, and you just hear what I've got to say, because if I have him as Lord, I won't need him as Savior so often. It's like I said, the Lord said, I've never got in that condition. I've never got. Well, you go, what would you do, Lord, if you was in this place? I've never got there. I'd listened to the Father. I'd obeyed the Father. You see? And so listen, I'm glad God, He brings us from wherever we are. But know where you're going. Know what's available to you. Don't just think, okay, I've been helped this week, now I'm going to have trouble next week. That's just like, you know, pray for me that I'll, you know, endure to the end. I used to say it like this. God's people, the way I was raised, you know, it was almost like they're just going to be saved by the skin of their teeth. And I said, God's church does not look like somebody's been drugged backwards through a briar patch, squeezed through the keyhole, and says, thank God I made it. This is a glorious church. Somebody needs to preach about a glorious church, a powerful Redeemer. Like I say, my prayer for us is that we'll be spiritually minded so we won't be just limited to the natural realm only. I hope you've received, and forgive me if I've hurt you. I didn't mean to hurt you. I love every one of you. But I understand that we're all growing. And pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me that I'll be able to clarify the message that God has given me. See, I don't mind people finding fault with what I have to say. They did that with Jesus. They did that with Paul. That's all right. But you know what? Every time somebody finds fault with what I have to say, it helps me that I can clarify. I think, okay, I wasn't real clear there. I need to clarify that part. Because, see, my goal is not that people will accept me, but my goal is that we'll get a hold of the life of God that Jesus come to manifest for us. He redeemed us for this life. This life is ours normally. See, it should be normal to be supernatural. Glory to God. Miracles ought not have to be called miracles by the people of God. That ought to be normal fare. That's children's bread. That's not it's miracles. The children's bread are miracles to the fallen realm. Glory to God. God bless you, Brother Glenn. Father, we're thankful. We're grateful for what you spoke to our hearts. Lord, I thank you for enlightenment, for eyes to see. I thank you, Father, that you have revealed the hidden things by your Spirit. Lord, I thank you for an open heart and an open mind to receive, for hungry hearts, willing to hear. Father, I pray that we take this seed, that it finds good soil. Father, that we will take it home, we will chew on it, we will grind up this corn and make bread. In Jesus' name. Touch every soul here, every heart here tonight. Father, I thank you for moving. I pray that you touch physical bodies, that healing come forth in the name of Jesus, that victory come forth for them that are bound in the name of Jesus. You have made it possible for us. Amen. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.